Good morning. Now, you're going to need to give me a little bit of help because I've got some questions for you. So I want you to shout out yes from behind your mask. Shout out to me the answers. And of course, anybody viewing online, they can shout at the screen, but of course I won't hear you. But if you can help me, that'd be really, really great. Right, so we've just heard from Chidike, thank you, that the earth is the Lord and everything in it. So who lives in the world or on the earth? Anybody? Me, us, yes, yes, and but who else or what else? Not just people here. Animals, yes, that's good. Nature, yes. I mean, all of God created all of creation. That's kind of. And when we think back to the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, we hear in creation. I'm just going to dodge around this back and forth, just so that Paul can have some problems with the camera up there. But anyway, the. So back in Genesis, back in the beginning, when God created the world, what do we read in the Bible that that he said at the end of each day? It was good. Yes, it was good. Every day God created and did something new, and he said it was good. And you know, there's another thing that's been created very recently that is good. I think good is an understatement, isn't it? It's our wonderful flower displays. Have you, handsome, if you've noticed them this morning? Yes? Yes. Oh, a few people have noticed the displays. Well, thank you very much to the team who spent yesterday putting them all together, and they're really fantastic. So I hope you, because there's something in the porch and in the windowsills and of course, the globe up front. And so there were several people, I think, yesterday. You popped in to see them, didn't you? Yeah, 10 people, and they spent quite a number of hours, so it's a lot of work gone into it. And I kind of think that it deserves to be in an art gallery, don't you think? You know, some sort of art installation. Fantastic. But what I want you to do now is to close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to rerun your arrival to church this morning, and I want you to then think, okay, well, you've got here. I don't know whether you were early or late, but anyway, you're coming in through, probably through the porch. Come through the porch, and there's a display there, and oh, oh, what do you see? Oh, that's an interesting display. I'm not sure that's really what was intended. It's a bit of a mess. Oh, there's bits and pieces, there's bits of wood, and there's bits of greenery, and there's all of the floor. Oh, okay, well, that's interesting, right? And you come into the church itself, and oh, you look at the windowsills. Oh, gosh, no, well, some of the flowers are still there, but they're smashed on the floor. And you look at towards the front of the church, towards the sanctuary, and well, did the flower team really intend for the pedestals and things to be knocked over and on the floor? Is that some sort of statement? And then it dawns on you that no, it isn't some modern art installation. Somebody's trashed it. Somebody's vandalized it, and they've somehow got in here, and it's not at all as the people who made it intended. Right, if you had your eyes closed, open them now. And I want to ask you, how do you feel having kind of rerun and seen the mess? Saddened? Yeah. Angry? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and so if we then think about our world and the state, the environment and the climate are in at the moment, how do you feel about that? That it's not as the Creator intended? Sad? Yeah. Angry? Yeah. How do you think God feels? Maybe that's a bit difficult to place feelings on Almighty God. I think there's a lot that makes him sad, isn't there? And we heard in the video, finally, didn't we? And this, I think it was the culmination of some research and some work done with some young people, I think maybe 16 to 25, and how they, as Christians, perceived the world. In the Move by Faith video, we heard their response to how humans have trashed the world. The words climate emergency, world on fire. They mentioned inequality, which is, you know, the big gap that we find between, say, the rich and the poor. And we know of how rich people or rich countries have been exploiting those who have much less. And also injustice done that. There was a mention, wasn't there, of how people in the richest countries are benefiting and causing the people in poorer countries to suffer these emergencies, these difficulties. So there's a lot to be sad about, and we have prayed some prayers to God for asking for his mercy and to ask his forgiveness for us. But you know, God's mission, so we talk a lot about organisations, about mission, you know, kind of what is the purpose, what we're going to do. You know, the church has a mission, the school has a mission, but God's mission, when we open up the Bible and read from the beginning to the end, we know that he created everything, and then what his intention is that all of creation, you, me, all the peoples of the world, and all of the things in the Creator, so non-human animals and nature, he, at the end of time, wants to renew and restore all of us, all of that. That, and we know, we believe that in Jesus, when Jesus comes again, or on that day, the day of judgment, on the end of the world, one day there's going to be a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. But for the time that we're living here, we are called to be partners in God's mission. God is working the world. Sometimes we don't see it, sometimes we're not sure, but he has given us the opportunity to join him in mission. Some of that is about telling other people about Jesus, but some of it's also about taking care of the environment. And we do that, because we should. But also, out of our response, God has given us this wonderful world. And so in love and obedience to him, we want to look after the world. The video that we watched earlier also mentioned that, double mics. To do nothing is to turn our backs on our God-given duty. So it's our duty to look after creation. And the voice said, this is our responsibility. This is our worship. And so let us be encouraged that we are partners in what God's wanting to do, and we can make a difference, and we should make a difference. So what really does that mean, and what can we do in light of, as John mentioned, there's the COP26, this climate conference where leaders from all over the world are going to come and talk and make some decisions and agree how together we can help the environment. Well, we can pray, can't we? Because we know and we pray to an almighty God. So let's pray. But let's not just keep it at that, because we also need to repent, that is, say sorry, and to change what we're doing, and we need to do better, and I wonder whether how we're doing with that. It's okay, you don't need to personally respond how you're doing, but back in June, I think we celebrated Environment Sunday, and we had a quiz that asked us what we did, and I'm just going to give you a brief reminder of the questions, so we're not going to take answers, but remind you of the questions and think, if you resolved back then to do something different, have you succeeded or did you just forget about it? So the questions were, do you draw, write or print on both sides of the paper? Do you remember to turn the lights off when you leave the house? Or do you remember to turn the light off when you leave a room? Have you dropped litter in the last week? And when you're having a barbecue, do you eat from paper plates and cups, or dishes that can be washed inside, or biodegradable plates and utensils? How do you normally travel to work or to school? Do you turn the tap off when you brush your teeth? How often do you eat at fast food places? my children. And what do you do with clothes that you don't want anymore? Do you recycle? And I would add, do you recycle as much as you could? So have a little think and think, oh, have you made any changes? Or could you still make some more? Then also what we can do is, especially around this time, as we're building up to the climate conference, we could speak up and take action. Now, some of you may feel called to go on a protest, but also it may be just locally that, say, children, you know, somebody drops some litter and you say, excuse me, can't you just pick that up and put it away somewhere? Or you can, this happens in our house quite a lot, you can remind each other to switch the lights off when you leave the room. So maybe it's something like that. But what we also can do, so those are all those things that we, with God's help, are trying to improve. But we can also have hope. We can also have hope in God. And because we know that at the end of times, God will renew it, will make his creation good again. And Margaret Hodgson calls it a robust hope, because, you know, when something's robust, if you drop it on the floor, it shouldn't break. It should be quite rugged. You know, you can probably give it quite a beating, and it can stand up to that. And so the hope that we have in Jesus is not just, oh, I hope tomorrow will be nice weather. Oh, you know, hope you get well soon. All those things that are kind of like wishful thinking. The hope that we have in Jesus is a robust hope. It's one that can stand a beating. It can be, can stand up strong, not because of us, yet not I, but through Christ in me, but because of the God that we believe in. And so I'm going to read up quickly what Margaret Hodgson has said about hope and the environment. Robust hope is the Christian hope that enables our trust in God's promises of ultimate redemption to sustain hopeful living in the present in a way that leads to realism and not escapism. It is strong in the midst of difficulty and pain, precisely because of the resurrection hope of life from death. Robust hope is earthed in the understanding of the incarnation of Christ. Sorry, lots of big words. Who loved his whole cosmos so much that he came to live among us, suffer, die, and rise again. It is based on faith in a risen Christ who holds creation together, even as it groans, waiting for liberation. Robust hope has a secure understanding of ultimate hope when heaven and earth shall be renewed and restored. Robust hope makes ultimate hope visible in real and tangible ways in the present. It's the hope of perseverance. The more severe our present reality becomes, the more robust hope is made visible. In our discipleship, we are called into the world to suffer, persevere, gain character, and discover hope. So in amidst all the climate emergency, let us pray and let us have hope. And so I'm going to pray now, pray with me, a prayer by the Right Reverend Stephen Croft, who's Bishop of Oxford. Let us pray. Creator of our common home, you fill the earth and sea and sky with life. Forgive us our neglect of your creation, the choking waste of our pollution, the damage done by careless habits, and our indifference to future generations. Help us to amend our lives, to refuse more plastic if we can't reuse it, to lift our voice for lasting change, and to live well and gently on the earth, to the glory of your Son, the living Word, through whom you made this fragile world. Amen.